This morning, I want to go back to the book of Psalms with you to chapter 95. For these four Sundays in November, I'm sharing four thoughts that I just came as I did my personal study of the book of Psalms again recently, talking about last Sunday, seeking God. The psalmist says, I'm poor and needy, and I cried to the Lord. There's a great need today for us to seek the Lord. The Bible says he can be found if we seek him with our whole heart. Today, the second in that series is going to be sensing God. How do we know him? Next Sunday for Thanksgiving week, we're going to talk about serving God. And then finally, the last Sunday, sharing God. Psalm 95, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. In our message last week, we talked about seeking God beginning with a place of discovery of where I am, of being honest about it. You will never experience real revival until you're willing to be honest with yourself. And sometimes that's hard to do. I learned years ago, we are different people. We're the people that we think we are. We are the people we think other people think we are. We're the people other people think we are. And we're the people that God knows us to really be. And we move in and out of those four definitions. And being honest is absolutely required to make progress. When we do that, we'll realize that we need something beyond ourselves. The world, in a maddening pace and spending billions of dollars every day, is trying to find satisfaction. And isn't it amazing where we are right now in our quest for that? The last part of that message, I talked about desperation, a sense of urgency. When the psalmist says, I cried to the Lord, that word cry, the Hebrew word, talks about shrieking. It's a mournful, it's a pitiful kind of commentary, a comment of desperation, a comment of urgency. Three thoughts I want to give you beginning this morning in how we go through this process now that we've reached that point. Simply stated, there's a need for us to hear the Lord, to listen. Here in this psalm, it says, today, if you will hear my voice. When I was a child, my mother had a thing she would do often. She would say, Mickey, did you hear me? She was not questioning my ability to listen. She knew there was nothing wrong with my ears. She was laying emphasis, did you get that? Did you hear what I said? Does that get through to you? Hearing is about more than listening. Hearing is about grasping what God is saying. The psalmist says, today, if you will hear his voice. I was listening in my study this morning to J. Harold Smith's message, God's Three Deadlines. I've not listened to that sermon in a long time. Literally thousands of people have come to Jesus Christ through that message. It's powerful. Dr. Smith has identified three deadlines in the Bible. Two of them can only be committed by lost people and one by believers. And just going back through the process of working through those deadlines, I was thinking about what I was preaching this morning and realizing that one of the deadlines is basically frittering away your day of grace, of listening but not hearing, of the many that Jesus talked about when he said, in that day, referring to the day of judgment, many, notice the word, many will come and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? And his response is, depart from me. I never knew you. Those are horrifying words to me. To realize that people are sitting on pews of churches for years and years and years and years, religious and lost. Hearing, but not hearing. Psalm 81, probably a page or two back in your Bible. Go back and look beginning in verse 8. What's involved? If I listen, what am I supposed to hear? He says in verse 8 of Psalm 81, hear, O my people, and I will testify to you, O Israel, if you will hearken to me. There it is again. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, God says. Verse 12, so I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened to me and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies, turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have subdued themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. And he would have fed them with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. God is calling. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There is so much distortion and confusion about the message of Scripture. We're living in a day when people have ridiculed and called those of us that believe the Bible fools because, in part, they've not heard the message. It's not about losing all the things that you think are important in your life. It's about understanding that there is a God in heaven who loves you and is called to you. And it's more than a call. In thinking about this, God reminded me of a verse in the book of Acts when Paul was at Mars Hill. And he said, talking about the people's amazing ignorance, having an idol to the unknown God. He said, the times of this ignorance, God winked at, means God overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He commands us. I have no problem telling you this morning, God has commanded you to repent. And that word means to change your mind. It means to leave what you thought was significant and understand what God says is significant. For, I want to go back to Psalm 81 again, there are consequences. My people, verse 11 says, would not listen. I called, I spoke, they would not listen. So what? I gave them up to their own heart's lust. Often I hear this comment, this commentary, preacher, what is going on in the world? Why? How can this man in Texas walk into a Baptist church on a Sunday morning and fire over 400 rounds, killing over 27 people and injuring others and destroy an entire, how can somebody do that? I don't understand that. I do. Makes perfect sense to me. When you will not listen to God, when you say, I can handle this myself, you open a Pandora's box for unimaginable possibilities in your life. No one sets out to become an alcoholic. It's just a little drink. No one sets out to be an abuser of women or of children. No one sets out to become a thief, a robber. No one sets out to become a derelict. No one sets out to become this or that or the other. But when you turn your back upon the one God who loves you enough that he gave his son for you, God says, I gave you over to your own heart's lust, and so you walked in your own counsel. Romans describes that process. Because men would not retain God, he gave them over. And there's a sad steppage, a linkage there between one to another, until finally the bottom ladder rung says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And that word reprobate mind means a mind incapable of moral distinction. There is no right. There is no wrong. We're moving as a country fast in that direction. When you talk about absolute truth, the scoffers come out of the woodwork. What do you mean absolute truth? Well, if you jump off a 10-story building, you'll not break the law of gravity. You'll break your neck. It's absolutely true. What goes up is coming down. There's absolute spiritual truth too. That truth is that when you reject God, there's some serious consequences. So we need to listen. It's important to have a time in your life to listen to God. Prayer, we talk about prayer. Prayer is more than just you bowing your head and offering to God your wants and your wishes and your prayer request. There has to be a season of listening to what he says. And part of that comes from this book. If you don't get into this, if the only time you get into this book is on Sunday morning when you come to Sunday school class or in a worship service when you see words up on the screen, if that's the extent of your experience with the Word of God, well, let me ask you this question. How many of you could get through a week or two without eating lunch? You would be physically sick. Well, there are people who are spiritually sick because they're not nourishing their spirit. So we need to listen. The second thing we need to do is learn. We need to trust the Lord. In his great invitation, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What would we learn? Can I give you a couple of suggestions? Number one, what you will learn is God is trustworthy. What else can you cite for me today that is trustworthy? What can you really depend upon today in this world? Not very much. We're living in a world that is fast moving, and what we thought was true has been changed, and what we could once count on is no longer there. But what you learn through Scripture is God is trustworthy. You can trust Him. He never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's trustworthy and he's truthful. God will tell you the truth. I have often made the comment from this pulpit that I can deal with truthfulness. I struggle with people who are dishonest and deceptive. If they tell me they hate my guts, I can understand that. And I can deal with that. And me and God can pray about that. But people that smile to your face while stabbing you in the back makes it difficult. I love truthfulness. God is truthful. God cannot lie. You know why that's important for you? Well, what has God said? God has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God cannot lie. If I go to him, he will accept me if I come under his terms, if I'm repentant. And in this process, God is teaching us. We're nearing the end of the year, and I often raise this question for you to ponder. Thinking back over the last 12 months of your life, what have you learned from God's Word that's made you better? Can you think of one thing that you learned in the last 12 months that's had an impact on who you are, that's encouraged you in your walk with the Lord Jesus, that has made you a better citizen, that's made you a better neighbor, that's helped you to love your fellow man? We're on a journey. There's a process. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. The Bible says that man is what? Created in the image of God. And then it says God's in the process of conforming us to the image of his Son. So we need to learn. And then turning to Psalm 37, the final thing I want to share with you is we need to obey. We need to live in the Word. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. What does that mean? To me, it carries the idea of doing what he says do. We're listening. Remember where we started? We're listening. God says, if you will listen, don't harden your heart. If you do, you run the risk of me giving you over. Listen. If you listen, what? You'll learn. Well, what's the good of learning if you don't do anything with it? I often wondered when I was in algebra in high school, who cares about X? Why do I need to do that? Well, somebody needed that information. I didn't, but somebody did. What good is learning? Let me be specific. What good does it do you to sit in a Sunday school class if you're not a better person because of it? If you're not kinder and more loving and more forgiving and more gracious and kind and all the other adjectives the Bible gives, if you're not different, the Bible says if a man's in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Look at these words in Psalm 37 quickly. Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. I think about pleasure when I think of that word. How to be pleasurable. A story I've heard years ago was the two hobos walking down the railroad track and looked into a church having a prayer meeting, and one says, what are they doing down there? He said, I don't know, but it sure looks painful to me. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to him. That speaks about purpose. Whatever you want to be, God's interested in that, to be the best you can be at it, whatever it is. If it's waiting on tables, if it's a neurosurgeon, whatever it is, there's no such thing as, I understand in our minds things seem to be more important than others, but all things are important. I remember the story about the importance of a nail. Remember that? The nail and the nail that was in the hoof of the horse, and because of the lack of the nail, the horseshoe came off, and because of that, the animal became lame, and because of that, the message didn't get through, and because of that, thousands of people died. Small things are important. Don't ever diminish what you do. Everything that's done in this church is important. God has called me to a unique place. I'm a pastor. That doesn't make me the most important person here. It simply means that's where I fit into God's plan. But your place is just as important. There is no such thing as a big me and a little you, or a big you and a little me. Every part is important. And finally, he says, rest in the Lord. Patience. to listen to the Lord and to learn from the Lord and to obey the Lord. And it all relates to God's word. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, God has magnified his word above his name. Before printing presses and copy machines and all the modern technology, the scribes of ancient days copied the scriptures by hand. And when that ancient scribe would come to the name of God, we're told they would pause and wipe that writing instrument off before they write God's name. Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. That's about more than profanity. There's an elevation to God's name, who he is. The psalmist says, God himself has magnified what? His word above his name. Psalm 119, a verse in that passage says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. Sunday school is important. This is not a chastisement. This is an invitation to do something good for yourself. If you're not coming, you ought to. You ought to, because it's a place where you can add another layer of growth to your life. We're talking about a spiritual journey. How do we get there? We start back by discovering we have a need we can't feel, a need only God can feel. We need to be urgent about that. And we come to his word where we listen to what he's saying. And as we listen, we learn. And when we learn, we put it into practice. We do it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I hope you'll ponder that question I asked a moment ago this afternoon. What have you learned in the last 12 months that's made you a better person? What scripture passage has God opened your eyes to that you've seen things that you hadn't really thought about before, that you had an aha moment, you had an epiphany, you said, oh God, I didn't realize that. And it's changed you. Paul says in Acts, God commands men to repent. It's not a choice. It's not an option. God says we must do it. So as we bow our heads this morning, let me pray for us together. Oh Lord, in this journey of life that we're all on, Father, there are hard times, sometimes painful experiences, sometimes hurts and troubles and problems of all kinds. And yet, Lord, you've told us that we can be victorious. So, Lord, I'm praying today that just the simple word, hearken, just the word that means to hear, will take on a whole different perspective for many who've listened to me. God, help us to listen to you. Not just to hear, but to listen, to get the full impact of what you're saying, to learn from it, and then, God, to have strength enough to put it into practice so that we're not hearers of the word only, but we're doers. Lord, I don't know what you've said to people here this morning. I know what you put on my heart to preach, but I'm also aware that your Holy Spirit speaks in languages that are not audible. You just speak to hearts. So there's something going on this morning in somebody's heart. And I want to pray for that person, whoever they are. They have a decision to make, a decision to put their trust in you, a decision to be obedient, a decision to repent. Whatever that decision is, God, I pray for grace this morning on that person's life. Probably more than one somebody, but certainly there's somebody here, surely. So I pray for them that you will help them. And God, help us to slow down a little bit, not just to pray, but to listen. Listen to what you have to say back. Lord, as we give the invitation to those that need to make a decision today, give them strength and courage and bless them. And all this we thank you for in Jesus' name. Amen.